One announcement forgot to make. Vero will be leading the Life Center meal preparation this Saturday. It's a fifth Saturday, so this week, right? This Saturday. If you can come, those who are free around noon, and help her with the prep, help her or help with her to make the preparations for the Life Center meal, please. Please do that if you can. A major news magazine reports that nobody would dare to have an experiment with children where you kept them inside for a long period of time and then measured their sight against children who had been playing outside. You would never dare to have such an experiment to confine children and then test their eyesight. However, a natural opportunity to do that came with the COVID-19. The Chinese government measured the eyesight of the children who had stayed in during COVID-19, who were not allowed to go outside and play. And they found an increasing myopia. People, children especially, who look only at the things at hand, and those of us who are old think that, you know, the computers are going to be the death of us in a way, but the children who are watching computer screens and looking here and only having a near sight lose the ability to see far. In the same way, those of us in the church who only think now, how can I live today, lose the ability of eyesight, and we need to learn to look at the far horizon in order to develop a full understanding of all the things that God is doing for us. So today, instead of thinking about what it means now to be alive, we're thinking of looking far ahead. Now, we don't know. It might not be that far ahead. We don't know the day of our own death, and we don't know the day of the Lord's coming. But it may not be right away. It might be right away. We don't know. So let's today improve our eyesight by fixing our eyes on the things that seem far away. Heavenly Father, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for those who are away and they're still a part of this congregation. We thank you for the several people who are on the camera who can't be with us today. Lord, help us to see the way that you see. Improve our vision, Lord, as we read your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been a season of loss for the congregation. I'm always afraid to look at my phone. Oh, things, we're being split up. Things will never be the same again. And we have come today to death, the third theme of spiritual formation for this month, the themes that we're having about spiritual formation. We started at the beginning of June with the fact that the gospel comes to us when a particular set of circumstances, socially, economically, personally, this is the cold, hard reality of where we start from. And then from there, our first theme was paying attention to our spiritual lives and cultivating our relationships with God and others. The second theme last week was accepting grief and disappointment as the place where God meets us and he teaches us to love and serve him. And now today we're talking about death and the second coming. When Jesus died, it wasn't just Judas who thought that something hopeful and wonderful had ended. Although Jesus had told the disciples about his coming death and resurrection, no one had understood. Friday night, Saturday, Sunday morning, they were just stunned, broken. Then the breathless arrival of the women from the tomb and the mad dash of Peter and others to confirm for themselves. And then for 40 days, Jesus appeared to them and said, here, Touch my side. This is the hole where the spear went in. Look at my hands. Look at the nail prints. And then Jesus was taken up, 10 more days of waiting. And then the Holy Spirit at Pentecost reminded them of everything that they knew they had heard, but they couldn't remember. Their hearts and their tongues relaxed, and they began to confidently pass on what Christ had told them about coming back. This morning we read the passionate words of Paul. Maybe this was about 20 years after the resurrection. Bud was here 40 years. A lot happened in that time. About half of that time, Jesus has been gone. And Paul is writing to the Christians at Thessalonica. The believers had banded together. They clung to one another. They drew in their family and closest friends. They told the good news to their neighbors and the shop clients. And they worshiped together in joy and faith, waiting that any day Jesus Christ is going to come back and they would see him again. But as the years went by, the cycle of life continued, and people began to die. Their closely knit band was breaking up. Well, what would happen to the people who died before Jesus came back? What would happen to those who were still here? Would they be separated into different categories? Now, Paul writes that those who die in the Lord and those who are still living will not be separated into categories. You know, when you come to the customs, right? If you have a passport, if you're a citizen, this is the line. And if you're coming in on a visa, this is the line. You can't go through you have to separate yourself according to what kind of passport, what kind of papers you have. But Paul here says, we're not going to be separated into different lines at the end times, that those of us who are alive and those who have gone before will be coming through on the same gate. And as a child runs out to greet her father and he catches her up and comes back into the house, when Jesus comes, it says the dead will rise first and then we will be caught up and we'll come back together with the Lord. And there are people who interpret this in different ways, but taking the whole of Scripture together, we believe that Christ will meet us and come back with us. The Bible does not explain what happens to those who die before the coming of the Lord, except to say that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's a lot of stuff we would like to know about death that the Bible doesn't feel we need to know right now. It tells us everything we need to know. Now, you are a very faithful congregation, but here are some of the things you may or may not find hard to believe. Life will continue after death. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, returned to heaven, and is still alive. The Holy Spirit was sent to the believers after Christ's ascension and is still with all believers. Jesus Christ will return to earth, whereupon there will be a massive final showdown between God and all the forces of evil, in which God will triumph. These may seem very unlikely to some of us. But these are the teachings of the New Testament. This is what this congregation teaches. This is what many of you believe. Again, these things may seem as unlikely as the first time you heard about the birds and the bees, but it's the truth. Other explanations of the world are not as likely as this one. They are the best explanation that I know of the reality of the world. Paul writes here to people who know the gospel story, and he says that they and we can be ignorant about the meaning of death. Paul writes that even Christians can grieve as if they did not have hope. Even we can do that. Our hope is the resurrection of the dead and the coming of Christ in glory. This coming will not be a secret. It's not only for those special holy people who have secret knowledge. It says the coming in verse 16, the cry of command, archangel's call, sound of the trumpet of God. This is something that everyone on earth will hear and see. Paul writes that those who die and those who are still living will return with Christ. All those we have lost will be with us again. We ourselves will die unless the Lord returns first. So, we live in a very pluralistic world. Is this just how one particular group sees the world? The claim of the Bible is to eternal and universal truth. So Christ, as the central figure of history, according to the Bible, is for everyone. So Christ, according to the Bible, is the savior and judge of every human being and every society and every human organization. I believe and say to you that all these things are taught by the Bible, and I believe them. I also believe that a lot of cultural things that have nothing to do with Christ have gotten mixed up in our understanding of what the Bible teaches. English is not God's native language. Christ is not blonde. The center of the church is not in Europe. Technology and earthly power are not the marks of holiness. The center of the church has shifted since the beginning of, since the resurrection, from Jerusalem to Antioch to Edessa to Rome to Northern Europe to North America. And do you know where the center of the church is now? It's in Africa and in South America. These things shift according to the currents of culture and time. So what does death and the return of Christ mean to all the people in our lives who, as far as we know, never think of Christ? Here in Pennsylvania in 2024, it is our work now to hear the truth that the Bible tells us and to let all of our assumptions about Christ and about cultural dominance fall away and think humbly and hopefully about death and the second coming, not as a cultural triumph, because that is a lie, but to think only about what it means that Christ is alive and that he will be coming back. How can this be a message of hope, not only for ourselves, but for everyone that we know in our lives? Amen.